CBS News update, I'm Frank Sedapani. The White House claims Iraq is continuing to receive shipments of chemical warfare products and other military materiel in violation of the UN trade sanctions. Spokesman Marlon Fitzwater went down the list.
Aviation shipments into Baghdad of one kind or another, military materiel appears to be coming in through some routes, and also the procurement of chemical warfare products, which we have great concern about.
At a late morning briefing, Fitzwater also condemned Iraq for detaining more than 100 American diplomats, spouses, and children who drove to Baghdad in a caravan from Kuwait.
The Iraqi government has reneged on its explicit commitment, first made on 9 August and reiterated just yesterday, to allow American diplomats and their families in Kuwait and Iraq to depart.
Fitzwater says the Americans are safe for now at the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. Correspondent Mark Phillips says the detention of the Americans in Baghdad is apparently payback for the U.S. refusal to close its embassy in Kuwait. The embassy and several others have been surrounded by Iraqi soldiers, and no one is getting in or out. So far, no attempt has been made to use force to remove foreign diplomats. From the Pentagon, correspondent David Martin reports on a U.S. show of force. The battleship Wisconsin steamed into the Persian Gulf today.
Now that brings an awful lot of additional firepower up into the Gulf, not just the 16-inch guns, but the cruise missiles on board that ship.
Dan Rather in Amman, Jordan, says whether that firepower will be used is open to speculation.
When you're in Saudi Arabia with American forces, there's a sense that they're still building up, that unless Saddam Hussein does something really terrible, that they may not strike immediately. That's the American sort of sense of things. On the other hand, throughout this part of the world, there is unquestionably the feeling that everybody's walking right on the razor's edge of danger with war, and that the Americans could strike at any moment.
Austrian President Kurt Waldheim arrived in Jordan today. Tomorrow he'll go to Baghdad to ask Saddam Hussein to release the Westerners held in Iraq and Kuwait. CBS News Update, I'm Frank Sedapani, CBS News, New York.
CBS News, I'm Dick Reeves. Iraq's foreigners held hostage situation has been compounded, and the president is angry. Jacqueline Adams reports from Kennebunkport.
Now that some 100 U.S. diplomats and their dependents have arrived in Baghdad from Kuwait, the Iraqis have refused to allow them to leave the country as promised. White House spokesman Marlon Fitzwater expressed President Bush's outrage.
We call upon Iraq to observe international agreements protecting the activities and persons of diplomatic establishments in Kuwait.
Likewise, Fitzwater condemns Saddam Hussein's posing with British hostages as, quote, sick beyond description.
The Iraqi film of Saddam Hussein posing with British hostages shows the cynical and inhumane view that he holds for human life.
Next Tuesday, Mr. Bush plans to return to Washington to brief congressional leaders on events in the Gulf. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, with the president in Kennebunkport.
The Americans are being held in Baghdad apparently to try to force the U.S. to obey Iraqi demands to close the embassy in Kuwait City. There's confusion about the deadline for the foreign embassy shutdown. Ambassador Nathaniel Howell and a few others remain at the Kuwait post. More from Mark Phillips at the State Department.
The concern earlier today was that a long siege might be in the offing, that the food, water, power supplies might be cut to the embassy, and that the standoff would remain as that. Now the concern has gotten a little more intense than that for several reasons. One is the appearance of Iraqi soldiers, about a dozen armed soldiers, at the gates of the embassy in the past 12 hours. The same sorts of things have happened at various other foreign embassies. There has been a restriction of access to and from the embassy, and the situation there is, as has been described, getting hotter all the time.
Mark Phillips. Fitzwater also charged Iraq still is receiving military shipments, including chemical weapons, in spite of the UN-ordered trade embargo. He wouldn't identify the sources. He did say the U.S. hopes to shut down the supply line. Jordan has reopened its border with Iraq. It had tried to close it after overwhelming numbers of refugees flooded across. Pennsylvania's governor will appeal a federal judge's decision today, ruling the state's anti-abortion law unconstitutional. It's the nation's toughest, requires a 24-hour waiting period, and that women tell their husbands of abortion plans. A judge in Reno, Nevada, cleared the British rock band Judas Priest of liability in the suicide-packed deaths of two young fans. Families of the two claimed messages hidden in the album's stained glass promoted Satanism and suicide. The judge found there are hidden words on the album, but there by accident. Second quarter GNP growth is no better on second glance. Issuing its first revision, the government still said the gross national product increased at an annual rate of 1.2% April through June. At 3 minutes after the hour, this is CBS News.
New laboratory tests show that Hart's blockade repels and kills fleas and ticks, including the ticks that carry Lyme disease. Blockade repellent gives effective flea and tick protection for dogs and cats. Blockade repels these pests and kills those already on your pet. So keep fleas and ticks off your pets to protect them and your family from the spread of Lyme disease with Hart's blockade. Clinically proven flea and tick protection that really works. Blockade repels fleas and ticks or your money back.
I'm going to see my daughter, and we stopped in Nevada. And I go to get my purse, and no purse. I had American Express traveler's checks and my checkbook in there. So we called American Express. I got my traveler's checks. Whew, on our way.
If your American Express traveler's checks are lost or stolen, it can take just minutes to authorize your refund. Take only American Express traveler's checks. Don't leave home without them.
Five South Carolina lawmakers have been indicted by a federal grand jury. They are accused of violating an anti-corruption law. One of the five resigned yesterday from the legislature, and a state judge has been suspended temporarily. The president's aunt fell at the family vacation compound this morning. An ambulance was called, and Nancy Walker, older sister of the president's mother, was examined but not taken to the hospital. Flash flooding in West Virginia after 3 inches of rain fell in 2 hours in the Mountain States mountains. Road and businesses washed, 35 homes damaged in the eastern part of the state. 30,000 fingerling trout were swept away from a hatchery in the high water. Totally useless the way black nationalist Nelson Mandela described South Africa's major crackdown on black factional violence. Police in 27 townships granted sweeping emergency power, the government attempting to stop fighting between Mandela's followers and opponents, more than 500 people killed. I'm Dick Reeves, CBS News. CBS News Update, I'm Dick Reeves. From Iraq's one-time big-time arms supplier, Tough Talk, a message from Soviet President Gorbachev to President Saddam Hussein. More from Barry Peterson in Moscow.
What this seems to be saying is that Gorbachev is threatening to end Soviet objections to the use of force in the Middle East crisis. So far, the Americans have been asking the UN and the Security Council to approve this measure, saying that they want to use force. The Soviets have been standing in the way of this. What Gorbachev seems to be saying is that he will withdraw his objections to using force if the Iraqis do not abide by what the UN wants them to do.
President Bush is angry over Iraq's efforts to tighten the diplomatic vise on the U.S. The United States and other countries rejected Iraqi demands to close embassies in Kuwait. Now more than 100 Americans and dependents evacuated from the Kuwait City embassy are being detained in Baghdad, apparently trying to force a shutdown. And Iraqi troops have turned up near the U.S. and other embassies in Kuwait. Only the ambassador and a few co-workers are left. So far, the soldiers have not tried to enter. Congressman Larry Smith is a member of the House Foreign Relations Committee.
If he, in fact, does go into that embassy to pull the ambassador and any other remaining diplomats out of there by gun, at gunpoint, he will have created a blatant violation of international law there and every other embassy. And that is almost an act of war.
Armed Services Committee member Pat Schroeder suggests diplomatic retaliation for the hostage taking.
I think we don't want to be into escalating any of this. And what I think we do is we then go over and ask the Iraqi ambassador to please step into our custody along with everyone in the embassy.
CBS News Update. I'm Dick Reeves, CBS News, New York.
CBS News, I'm Bill Lynch. With Iraqi occupation troops now posted outside at least 8 embassies in Kuwait, including the U.S. diplomatic compound, the Iraqis are talking about the next steps. BBC newsman John Simpson in Baghdad.
Government officials here are saying privately that when the deadline comes for those foreign embassies in Kuwait which are refusing to close down, their phone lines will be cut, which may mean that they'll be held under something like siege conditions. In fact, the British embassy in Kuwait has been cut off by telephone for a good 2 weeks now. The diplomats, according to the official, may stay in the embassies if they wish, but their diplomatic immunity will be withdrawn from them and they'll be treated like anyone else. When the official was asked if the diplomats would be arrested, he smiled and said there'd be no need.
U.S. Ambassador Nathaniel Howell and a few aides at the Kuwait embassy are defying Iraq, as are British diplomats, with full backing from Prime Minister Thatcher.
They will stay there for as long as they possibly can, and if anything happens to them, it will be the responsibility of the Iraqis.
As long as the U.S. refuses to close its Kuwait embassy, a large group of American diplomats and their dependents is barred from leaving Iraq. State Department spokesman Richard Boucher says Baghdad changed the rules.
We were informed in Baghdad that a new set of regulations prohibits travel from Iraq of personnel from embassies representing countries which have refused to close their missions in Kuwait.
All Soviet diplomats have left Kuwait, but as correspondent Barry Peterson tells us, Kremlin officials say they haven't caved in to Iraq's demands.
They say it doesn't necessarily mean they've closed the embassy, something which, of course, the Iraqis have demanded. They say it was merely a matter of safety, getting their people out of harm's way should anything happen in the area.
Soviet President Gorbachev has a strong warning for Iraq's Saddam Hussein, saying if he does not withdraw from Kuwait and release foreign hostages, the United Nations will take additional measures against him. That presumably includes the use of naval force to ensure compliance with UN trade sanctions. Officials in Jordan say they'll take in up to 20,000 more refugees from Iraq today, but Turkey is hinting it might close its borders unless refugees are quickly taken in by their own countries. Orders went out from the Pentagon today, sending reserve units to active duty in support of the Persian Gulf military buildup. The U.S. naval force in the Gulf got some big guns today with the arrival of the battleship Wisconsin. Austrian President Kurt Waldheim is in Iraq on a peace-making mission. He plans to see President Saddam Hussein. Only two of the 15 Soviet republics have not yet declared their sovereignty. The latest to do so, Tajikistan in Central Asia. A major crackdown on black violence gives South African police sweeping powers to arrest and disarm rival black factions. Nelson Mandela calls the move totally useless. In India, thousands of students hijack buses and battle police to protest a government plan to reserve jobs for low-caste Hindus. The demonstration paralyzed New Delhi traffic. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is ahead 7.68. At 3 minutes past the hour, this is CBS News.
Hi, Jim Summers for ValueRite Pharmacies. Healthcare needs come in different sizes. For example, participating ValueRites have boxes of 36 St. Joseph low-strength adult aspirin for only 99 cents. 30 Phenomet laxative plus softener pills are only $2.69. Boxes of 16-count Phenomet gum are only $1.59. Use only as directed. Just look in your yellow pages for ValueRite Pharmacies, where you'll always find great American values. And that's about the size of it.
The sun rises early on harvest day, casting morning shadows across a ripening orchard, then sweeping low to find a field of plump red strawberries. Nature's about to put her bounty into our hands. We'll return the favor by putting pride and dedication and tradition into every jar of Smucker's jams and jellies. With a name like Smucker's, it has to be good.
Abortion rights activists have won a court ruling throwing out key sections of Pennsylvania's restrictive abortion law. A federal judge in Philadelphia ruling that women's rights were violated by requirements for parental consent, spousal notice, and a 24-hour waiting period. The state attorney general will appeal, with this case likely to wind up before the U.S. Supreme Court. A judge in Reno, Nevada has ruled that hidden words on an album by the British heavy metal band Judas Priest were not responsible for the suicide deaths of two young fans whose families sued for over $6 million. The plaintiffs did win $40,000 on grounds the record company withheld evidence. A private plane crash in a Boston neighborhood killed three people today, one of them developer Michael Speer, whose Rouse company built New York's South Street Seaport and Boston's Faneuil Hall Market. Five members of the South Carolina legislature were indicted today on corruption charges stemming from an FBI sting operation in which a lobbyist bought votes for a pari-mutuel betting bill. One lawmaker has resigned and a judge has been suspended. I'm Bill Lynch, CBS News. CBS News Update. I'm Bill Lynch in New York. In Kuwait, Iraqi occupation troops have defiant diplomats under siege at the U.S., British, and several other embassies that Baghdad says must be closed by midnight, 2.5 hours from now. With U.S. Ambassador Nathaniel Howell and a handful of aides refusing to leave, Iraq is blocking the departure from Baghdad of about 110 other U.S. diplomats, dependents, and Marine guards. That drew a protest from the State Department.
Today, we have another stark example of Iraqi duplicity. Our diplomatic convoy from Kuwait is being held in Baghdad and denied permission to leave Iraq.
Spokesman Richard Boucher also charged the Iraqis with tapping U.S. Embassy phone lines, perhaps in search of new hostages.
We know that the Iraqis are monitoring the embassy's local telephone calls in an attempt to locate American citizens. For that reason, our telephone conversations with the American community are very short, and the information passed is that they are well and safe, and in some cases that they have moved location.
The Soviets have abandoned their Kuwait embassy without conceding Iraq's right to close it. President Gorbachev has sent Iraq's Saddam Hussein a warning of tougher UN actions if he fails to withdraw from Kuwait and release foreign hostages. Britain's independent television news is quoting Iraq's information minister as saying the more than 230 British hostages will die if there's a Western military invasion. If Iraqis die, he said, so will British civilians. With many of the 3 million foreigners in Iraq and Kuwait desperate to get out, Jordan, Turkey, and Saudi Arabia are coping with a flood of refugees. Bill McLaughlin is in Cairo.
Tens of thousands of Egyptians who are workers, many of them poor people, workers in Kuwait and Iraq, have headed for the border. They've been moving through the desert in sweltering heat. Many are reported to have died or in danger of dying from heat exhaustion, thirst, lack of food. So the U.S. has been requested to try and send what help it can, and the sources tell me the U.S. is planning to try to send tents, medical supplies, food, and water.
There's one good piece of Middle East news. According to Iran's news agency, Lebanon hostage Brian Keenan was released about half an hour ago. He's an Irish citizen. CBS News Update, I'm Bill Lynch in New York.
CBS News, I'm Dick Reeves. Iran's official news agency says it's true that Irishman Brian Keenan has been released from captivity in Lebanon. More from Dan Raviv in London.
Keenan is 39 years old. He'd been a teacher at the American University in Beirut, and he was kidnapped there in the Lebanese capital in April of 1986. It was seen as some sort of retaliation for the U.S. bombing raids on Libya because American Air Force jets used bases in Britain. So the Irish government took up his cause, and the Irish believe they've now succeeded.
Keenan also had a British passport. Iraq's putting the diplomatic squeeze on the U.S. The Soviets are putting the squeeze on Baghdad. The Iraqis say Kuwait's been annexed. They want foreign embassies there to close. The U.S. is among the countries rejecting the demand. Now about 100 embassy employees and dependents evacuated from Kuwait, hoping to leave the country, are being detained in Baghdad, apparent hostages to a shutdown demand. The State Department's Richard Boucher.
We have strongly protested to the Iraqi government this outrageous breach of international law and this violation of repeated Iraqi commitments to allow travel of our diplomats from Kuwait out of Iraq. We are insisting that our American diplomats and their families receive the full protection and freedoms accorded them under international law and by the norms of civilized behavior.
In Kuwait City, Iraqi soldiers are said to be stationed near the U.S. and other embassies, but have not attempted to enter. The five permanent Security Council members are working on a resolution calling for U.N.-supported military enforcement of sanctions against Iraq. U.S. Ambassador Thomas Pickering.
We are continuing our consultations. I continue to be optimistic, and that's just not a euphemism to cover the subject. We hope very much that in a very short period of time, we'll be able to move ahead on this resolution,
which may well wind up with Moscow's support.
This is Barry Peterson in Moscow. Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev, taking a tough stand against a longtime ally, has warned Iraqi President Saddam Hussein to abide by United Nations sanctions or face what Gorbachev called additional measures. The Soviets are apparently clearing the way to support a UN Security Council resolution approving force in the Middle East crisis. Until now, Soviet objections have been cited as the main reason the United States has been unable to win an okay for the resolution. Gorbachev warned that if the Iraqis do not abide by the demands of the UN, if they do not withdraw from Kuwait and release foreign nationals, then the Soviet Union may well side with the United States to escalate the use of force and tighten the noose around Iraq. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Moscow.
On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 30.95 at 2514.36. Volume on the big board, 169 million shares. At 3 minutes after the hour, this is CBS News.
Jerry.
Yeah?
It's your conscience.
Oh, no, not now.
Gee, this place is a mess, and so is this balance sheet.
Look, I'm trying to study my cash flow, all
right?
Well,
I can tell you right now, you're paying out too much for other people's dishonesty.
What?
Don't you realize when people cheat on insurance claims, you pay the price in higher premiums?
Why should I have to pay?
Good question, Jerry.
With the right insurance company, you may not have to. It's true that insurance fraud leads to higher premiums. The good news is the CNA insurance companies are doing something about it. CNA and the independent agents who represent it work hard to control excess cost by combating fraud. Last year alone, CNA saved more than $25 million in fraudulent and inflated claims. That's one more way CNA fulfills its commitment to keep insurance affordable.
So what do I get for being honest?
A clear conscience, Jerry.
Oh.
Ask your independent agent about the CNA insurance companies. CNA, for all the commitments you make.
So, what caused NASA engineers to lose contact for 17 hours again this week with the Venus orbiting Magellan spacecraft? Darned if they know.
We know less about what caused this signal loss than we know about what caused the first signal loss.
Project engineer J.P. Slonsky, they have done a partial memory transplant trying to make sure contact is not lost again. In a case expected to wind up in the U.S. Supreme Court, a federal district judge today declared parts of Pennsylvania's tough anti-abortion law unconstitutional. The state will appeal. Struck down, provisions requiring married women to tell their husbands before getting abortions, a mandatory 24-hour waiting period, parental consent for women under 18. A Nevada district judge ruled that words hidden on a rock album are there by chance and that the band Judas Priest is not responsible for the suicide pact deaths of two young fans, as their families claim. I'm Dick Reeves, CBS News.